Welcome to the OA Virtual Kitchen Sink Meeting Podcast. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live and how to donate to support this meeting and our podcasts. The opinions expressed on the Kitchen Sink Podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not represent OA as a whole. And now, our speaker.
I am qualified, I believe, to be here today because I am a compulsive overeater. I'm in recovery today by the grace of my higher power in this program. And I really believe in that promise to always extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share this compulsion. I'm responsible for doing this. So when I'm asked to qualify, I try to say yes every time. And I usually spend some time, which I did today, I'm kind of nervous about this one. I do spend some time with my higher power asking for guidance in telling the story in a way that will help somebody. I know it'll help me to remember where I came from and why I'm here. So my life has been turned around through this program from people like you guys that are here at this meeting. Thank you for being here. And my growing understanding of my relationship to my higher power, all of that has made a big difference in my life. As far as I know, my top weight was about 260 pounds. But I was a skinny kid when I was little. And up through second grade, that's the way I was. But I have an early memory of food where I was born in the city of Boston and came home from school early grades. And there was a box on the kitchen table that I knew was for me. Full of sweet things. And I knew I was supposed to, you know, eat one or two of them and then go about my day. But I sat there and ate a couple and then wanted to eat another and another until the whole box was gone. It was about eight of them in the box. The people who produce these things nowadays know to put a whole lot more in a package than that, which was at least that was a gift that there weren't any more. So I knew that was wrong to do that, but I don't remember getting punished for it or anything. And I just have that early memory. And so even though I was skinny, I was ready to become the compulsive overeater that I would later on. So around the third grade, we moved to the suburbs. And I went from a Catholic school, first and second grade, to a public school in third grade, but then went back to the Catholic school in fourth grade through eighth grade. And all of that time, I was the fat kid who was had nicknames that kids gave me that were Hammy and Fatsy, Fatso and stuff like that. I was the one that was picked last to be playing baseball on the team and all those things. And sometimes bullies would push me around and stuff. And I did have friends, though, and got along well with them. One of the things we did together was read comic books. And I can remember in the comics that we read back in those days, I'm 79 years old, by the way. And so this is back in the early 50s and we're talking about. Anyway, the comic book always had an advertisement in it. And it had some little panels of cartoons. And a skinny kid at the beach is getting kicked sand in his face by a kid that had muscles and was strong. And everybody made fun of him. And then it was an advertisement for some weight gaining, muscle gaining program. And I looked at that and I mean, I wished I was the skinny kid. I would have been happy to be the skinny kid and getting teased for that rather than teased for being fat. But I never did anything about it. I didn't find out about the weight program to get more muscular or anything. I never knew what to do about it. The food that I ate at home was not healthy food. As I look at it today, my family there weren't vegetables offered very often. My mother was into the same kind of things that I learned to love that were fats and sugars and white flours and things that were easy to fix. So that's what I ate growing up, and it kept me chubby the whole time. And eventually, when I was ready to when I was in high school, I was ready to do something about my weight because I was interested in girls. And being the chubby kid with the baby face didn't help in that department. So The only thing I could think of was to restrict my food as much as I possibly could. And that's what I tried to do. I didn't have any idea of any other way to do it. But at this point, the drive to have girls around and interested in me drove me to do just that. And I was successful. I lost weight when I graduated from my Catholic high school. I wore a tux and looked great. And then I went off to college, joined the Reserve Officers Training Corps, wore a uniform. That's a good way to get girls, right? And I did. I got my first girlfriend, and we dated part of the way through college, but I couldn't keep restricting that way. I went back to eating the foods that I liked and eventually gained weight, left the ROTC program, and eventually lost the girlfriend. Graduated from college, went to work. My life at that time, as a young adult, I was overweight. I was having problems with psoriasis on my body and in my scalp, which didn't help, of course. Dandruff and all that stuff was a turnoff. I also had gout in my feet, I'm sure due to poor diet and being overweight. And I could sometimes hardly put my shoes on. And I'm a young man of 20-something years old. And even after that, I had problems with my stomach. I thought I had an ulcer for a while. And Maalox became the answer to those problems. And I was often told by doctors, not to eat so much and to eat less spicy foods and avoid several of the things that I really liked. And I couldn't do that. So I didn't. And so I suffered from that problem for a long while. So my life wasn't great. But for some reason, when I was working in my profession the first few years, I met a woman who turned out to be the best person to come into my life. And that was the woman that I married in 1969. We've been together ever since then, and she's the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, with her together, I learned a lot about life, adulthood, the responsibilities of being married and raising kids, but also how to eat more properly, finding out what proper food portions are. I had no idea growing up that, that a small amount of protein is enough. That vegetables and fruits are really important to being healthy. And those things I learned from her and from some of the paid weight loss programs that the two of us went to together. And I learned a lot from those, and I lost weight again, just like I did when I restricted as a high school kid. So that was all good, but it wasn't changing some of the other behaviors of my life, some of the immature behaviors of, not being able to stick to things that were healthy for me, like exercising and playing sports and doing those weight lifting programs that kept you. I could never commit to those things because I was always looking for an easier, softer way to do everything. And I always felt inadequate. I always felt like the person who didn't get the set of directions for life, for whatever it was in life, raising kids, for instance. I had no clue what to do. I just decided that I just loved them as best I could and go from there. And it pretty well turned out for my daughter. My son, who was older, unfortunately, when he was in high school, turned to drugs and alcohol. It got so bad with him and my wife and I really not knowing what to do that we put our son and our family into a drug rehab. So what that meant was that us as parents and even my daughter, who was in her teens at that time, had to go to meetings at this drug rehab where my son was being taken care of by other parents in the program. And they told us to learn the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, memorize them. I had no clue what that was. Why I was having to learn that seemed crazy to me. He was the one with the problem, right? Of course, he also not only shared the problem with drugs and alcohol, but he and I share the same compulsion to overeat. He's a compulsive overeater, just like I am. So he grew up being fat as well. But this was a bigger problem at the time, and that's what we were focused on. But I was supposed to memorize the 12 steps of AA. I didn't understand who the we was in all of that either. But I did it because I wanted him to succeed in his program. And I went to the meetings, and I was listening to some of the other women in the program talk one night, and they were talking about giving up white flour and sugar in this program that they had found for controlling their weight. And I said to myself, give up white flour and sugar? That's impossible. Those are my main foods. How can you give those up? Eventually shared at the meeting how I was having problem with the food and how I was gaining weight and couldn't seem to stop. And one of the members turned to me and said, you're in a rehab program. You're learning recovery, and you need to get recovery yourself. You need to go to Overeaters Anonymous. Had no idea what that was, but because I was interested in my son recovering and sounded like a good idea, I found an OA meeting. I went to it, and I was impressed. Because I had been successful in the diet program that we had tried, although I gave it up and went back to being heavy again. And I tried a half a dozen other different diets from time to time, which were moderately successful to not successful at all because I couldn't stick to them. But this OA program was different. And I was given a gray sheet that the sponsor I got said, do you want to lose weight quickly? Or do you want to just take it off a little at a time? And I said, oh, I want to do it right away. And he said, here's a gray sheet. Follow this food program. Call me every day and tell me what you're going to eat. And that's what I worked on. I put together a program based on the old gray sheet from back in the day, which is a very restrictive food program, 3 meals a day with nothing in between, but also, you know, very weighed and measured portions of everything. And at that time, it was no starches, virtually none. And so I lost weight quickly, and I kept it off with that sponsor for 14 years. And that was good. And I did the 12 steps with that sponsor. But I remember now, and I know now, that I was not doing that 12-step with him completely honestly. There were things that I didn't tell him in doing my fifth step. That I just felt I couldn't tell any other person. And so obviously the program's not going to work that well if you're not going to follow it honestly, because that's the basis of OA and the 12 steps is being honest. But I did keep the weight off successfully for all of that time until I retired from my profession in 2002. And I decided at that point, my genius brain, I'd always done well in school, so you know, I had a pretty good brain, but that brain with the disease of compulsive overeating behind it told me that I could stop many of the things that I'd been doing, calling my sponsor every day with a food plan that included no flour and no white sugar, and that I could put a little of those things back in my diet. And I didn't have to do all of the tools of the program. I didn't have to go to so many meetings a week. Maybe I could just go to one once in a while. Of course, that stopped happening altogether quickly, and none of that worked. So I reached a top weight of 260 at this time during these years. And it was a long stretch from 2002 to 2017 that I was out on my own, kind of doing a few of the things that I used to do. I still prayed. I still read some of the OA literature, which I found really interesting and helpful in life. And I also had a lot of looking for the easier, softer way and not taking good care of myself in many ways during that time. The thing that shocked me was that my son, who had now moved to California and was on his own in his own home, that he had earned by working self-employed, doing editing online and things. And we came out to visit him, and my daughter, who had also moved to LA, warned us before we came that we were going to be shocked to see how he had let himself go and that he had become morbidly obese. And indeed, that was the case. So, you know, I had been knowing I needed to get back to OA, that was the only way that I was ever going to get my healthy eating back, because I couldn't do it on my own. But when I saw him and realized that I was like a druggie buddy with him with his disease, that I was doing the same things that he was doing. I just hadn't got to the extent that he was, although I was obese. I saw it on my medical record. It shocked the heck out of me to see that word in the doctor's office on my medical record. But seeing him eating like he was and how large he had gotten was a shock to me. So I made a commitment to myself to finally get to find the humility to walk back in the doors of an OA meeting. And I did that. I'm in LA right now, even though I live in Massachusetts, visiting with him. And unfortunately, he has not ever gone back to program. He got himself free of drugs and alcohol back in the day. And there were times when in OA, he recovered himself and got to a normal body weight. But he's been, like I said, drug and alcohol free since then, but can't seem to get his head around going back to OA. But I needed to, and so I got to a couple of meetings. And when I went back home that year, and in January of 2018, I found that first meeting that I had been to. And I went to it hoping I could ease myself back in to the program, find a sponsor, you know, in a few weeks or a month or so, and make the real commitment. But at that meeting, I shared, and a man came up to me after the meeting and said, I'd be glad to be your sponsor. And so I said, okay, higher power, this is a message. And I made the second best decision in my life to take him on as a sponsor. And we've been working together ever since January of 2018. And I've been abstinent since May of that year. Thank God, through the grace of my higher power, through this program, and through, like I said, people like you. Who
Excuse me, you have 5 minutes left.
Thank you. So my program's different today from my first time around. My abstinence still is 3 meals a day with nothing in between, no sugar or refined carbohydrates. I weigh and measure everything when I'm eating at home. But at least most things. I am abstaining from the foods and behaviors that cause me problems. I've got my list of binge foods and foods I need to avoid because I can't stop eating them, and I stick to leaving them out of my food plan. But it is a food plan that has a variety of foods, and I eat plenty of fruits and vegetables and really enjoy them, which I never did in my early life. I had no idea all of that, as I told you, in my portions are reasonable portions. I work together with a nutritionist along with my sponsor to make sure that that food plan is healthy and proper. And if I'm making any changes to it, I work through both of those people to make those changes. I give my food plan for the day to my sponsor every morning, and I read him what my action plan is going to be. I love that tool of action plan. That wasn't part of the program when I was in OA the first time around, but it is today, and it really helps me because I put in that thing things like exercising and doing weights and making sure I get enough walking in, along with the other tools of praying and excuse me, getting to meetings and doing reading the literature, all of those things. So the food plan is not enough, is what I learned from my first time around and being in relapse. I need the spirituality that this program offers. You know, I was doing OA Light, and I had realized that saying that I came across, that if you focus on the program, you'll lose the weight, but if you focus on the weight, you'll lose the program. And that's what happened to me the first time around. I was focusing on the weight, using OA more as a diet program, but now it's a program for life for me today. And so I've made an honest commitment to improving myself and my relationships with others, especially my wife, and praying and meditating, following the rest of my program, has brought a lot of behavioral differences that I needed to make. And I never successfully could make them before. But because I'm turning it over more and more, learning to turn it over more and more to my higher power, I can accept that compulsive eating is not an option for me. You know, I'm the brother to all of you on this journey that we're all on. And I ignore the craving. It rarely comes. I work on things like my posture and my attitude. And I practice self-care. I make my bed. I comb my hair. I brush my teeth and floss them and take care of them. I pray every day. And I thank God for all I've been given. I have so many gifts in my life today. I make calls to my sponsor. I call three others every day in program for outreach. I sponsor others. I try to live the steps and not just work them. I go to meetings and I do service like today when I can. I really like the Daily Readers for Today and Voices of Recovery. But I also found from other lots of stuff from other OA books and pamphlets and from the Big Book. And since I went through relapse and I've returned to program, I especially like the book A New Beginning, Stories of Recovery and Relapse. And there's a quote from that book that fits exactly where I am today. And with I would like to read just that paragraph, if I could, in ending my share. It goes like this. Today, I realize that this is a threefold disease, emotional, physical, and spiritual, and I have to take care of all three areas to recover. It isn't enough to just be willing. I have to do my part to see recovery happen. My higher power will help me, but I have to work the steps and use the tools. This is how I take care of myself. I take care of myself emotionally by not getting too angry or lonely and by letting others know how I feel in an honest and caring way. I take care of myself physically by not getting too hungry or tired. I eat well-balanced meals, drink plenty of water, and exercise. And this takes time, but I realize this is the only way to recovery. Spiritually, I spend time with my higher power and read literature that will help me to work my program as though my life depended on it, for it does. So that's New Beginnings, Stories of Recovery and Relapse, and it tells my story. And with that, I will pass. So this is the time for questions only. There's no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. If you asked a question last week, please wait until the first three questions have been asked before raising your hand. If you have a question, please click the raise your hand icon, and we will take questions until 9:50, and timer, you'll tell us when it's 9:50, I hope. Okay, so I will look for hands and call on folks. Is that how that works now?
And Ken, just so you know, I've got another timer. We take questions and answers until 9:50.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And yes, people will raise their hands and then you can call them there.
Okay. Bob M., go ahead.
Thank you very much for your share. Can you talk about how important service is to your program?
Sure. Thanks. Yeah, I try to do service as often as I can. I have not done much service beyond the meeting level, but I have two committed meetings that I often do service at leading or working the dashboard now, things like that. And I have a sponsor, but I sponsor actually six different men. Four of them are just for food, and the other two, well, three now, are we've worked the steps together. And that's a big commitment. It takes a lot of time out of my life with those guys, but it has been such a gift to learn so much about the program by working with other people. So service is one of the most important tools in my book. Being a sponsor in particular has been just life-affirming and program inspiring for me. So, but any kind of service, as it says in the tools, there is certainly, when I first got into OA, and even the second time I got into OA and felt like such a beginner, even the second time around, setting up chairs at a meeting was a gift to me, to know I was doing something to help this meeting and to help others just by setting up the chairs, even though I didn't feel like I had anything else to offer. Service is just, as I said, one of the most important tools in my book. I hope that answers your question. Cheryl.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for your amazing share. Over my 40 years in program, I am a serial relapser. And since I know you relapsed at least once for 15 years, I'm assuming that the obsession with food returned for you. My question now is, has since January 2018, the obsession with food been removed for you? Or is it something you still deal with daily? And if so, what do you do?
The obsession has been put aside, maybe is the best way to say it, most of the time. It's just such a gift. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, really, because when I was in relapse, for instance, I have a just distinct memory of, you know, not really overeating a lot during a day, but 10 o'clock at night watching TV, I just had to have something in my mouth. I just had to sneak downstairs when my wife didn't know and find something that I could put in my mouth to eat. And that has gone away. I don't experience that today. That doesn't mean that I don't have times when I think, boy, I would love another serving of this and I could do that, or boy, look at that stuff this person is eating, or look at all this free stuff that's right in front of me. But I don't go to that. I don't act it out. The thoughts are still there. My compulsive thoughts can still be in my head, but I don't have the need to act them out today. And I know that can go away in a heartbeat tomorrow, because that's exactly what happened when I was convinced that I could do this on my own. And as soon as I started putting that food back in my food plan, it just got harder and harder to imagine going back to an OA meeting and making the commitment that I know I needed to make. So that's where I am today. I am a compulsive eater and I learn it every day. But most days I don't have to think about it, because my higher power has given me that gift, and you guys in this program have given me that gift. Thanks. Melissa.
Hi, Ken, thank you so much. What a lovely share. It was beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit more about just your relationship with your higher power and how maybe that's changed, like in the first recovery and this one? Thanks.
Wow. That's such a big question. So as I intimated, I grew up as a Catholic. Out of the years I went to grammar school, high school, and college, only one did I attend public school. So I got plenty of religion growing up. And the God of that religion was the one you prayed to every day, but there wasn't anything like a personal relationship with that higher power. It was all, you need to do this, you must do that. It's a sin if you do it. If you don't do it, it's a sin, and you don't want to do that because you're going to be punished forever if you do. So that was my relationship growing up with religion and a higher power. And I gave that up as a young adult. I just rejected it and said, look, I'm done with that. It's too hard. I can do that on my own. That's what I believed at that time too. And so I stopped going to church and having any relationship with a higher power. And when I got into program and it said, pray to your higher power every morning for the gift of abstinence and all that. Boy, I was embarrassed to get down on my knees. I didn't want anybody to see me get down on my knees and pray every morning. So that's where I came from. And it's a struggle still today to keep that the new focus that I have that I'm learning through AA, OA, that my higher, I need to have a connection with that higher power all day long, that I need to be turning my will over to that higher power in everything I do all day long. And I'm trying to get there. I work on that. I pray every morning for that idea to have direction and guidance from this higher power. And one of the things I'm learning is that what I have to pay attention to is things like my wife and what she's got to say about things, which I often just rejected in the past, like, yeah, what does she know? But what I'm finding is my higher power often speaks to me through her. And if I just listen to what she says about her opinions about things, about what I'm doing that's not helpful or whatever it might be, if I pay attention to those things, I become a better person. And it's not just her, but she's the best thing that ever happened to me. So I just need to pay more attention and be more loving and kind with her anyway. But those are the kind of things that I'm learning today in my quest to be more spiritual. Okay, we still have, what, 9 minutes, right? John, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's really good to hear from a contemporary in age and going through similar things. What do you do on a daily basis for your program, please, Ken?
Oh, boy. Okay, so I have an action plan that I put together every day, and most of it's repeated every day, but not all of it. So I pray in the morning, I pray at night. I pray in the morning for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out, and that I'll be abstinent and get exercise and get my work done, that I need my responsibilities done during the day to the best of my ability. And at night, I pray for the gratitude, for all the gifts I've been given that day. In between those two prayers, I eat three abstinent meals that are planned. I call my sponsor, give him my food and my action plan. I take calls from the six sponsees if they call me, which they don't always do. And I make three outreach calls every day. I read OA literature, including a page or two from the big book. Eat my three abstinent meals. I guess I said that already. If some days I go to meetings, some days I don't. And anyway, all of those kinds of things, I try to use all the tools as often as I can, and most of them on a daily basis. And as I said, my food plan is three weighed and measured meals with nothing in between. And I've been able to stick to that with changes in what those three meals are and how much food there is in it, working with a sponsor and a nutritionist. But once I commit to it, that's what I stick with. And if I make changes, I get in touch with my sponsor to let him know what those changes are going to be and why. Steve, you're still muted.
Thank you. Thanks for what you shared. And I'm wondering, when you say you pray in the morning, what does that mean? Prayer in the morning, pray morning and night. What does that include?
Well, it says in the steps to pray for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And so I often say just those words, but I try to reflect on what that means also, and what it means for me that day. I also pray for the willingness to be abstinent today. I also pray for the willingness to do the exercises that I've committed to doing that day. That doesn't always work. I don't always get to them. Things come up and happen, and you know, the day goes by in a hurry. It seems to go by faster and faster every year. I pray for the willingness to exercise, the willingness to be abstinent, and then I have a commitment to do financial work for my own family, but also for both of my kids, who are both in business for themselves. So I have to do that work too, and that takes up a part of my day. So I pray for the willingness to do the work that I've committed to do, and spend some time just thinking about the gifts of the program and the gifts that I've been given in life. The life I have is second to none today. I'm healthier today than I was in my 20s. And that's a huge gift. You know, all those things that I mentioned earlier are gone, and so are some other things. That it's not that I'm perfect. I still have some issues with the, well, I have some issues, of course, with the medicine, but you know, I only take one medication. I have friends and relatives who are my age or younger who have pharmacies of drugs that they have to take for the various illnesses. I have an older brother who had lots of health issues and got COVID and died 2 years ago. So, and I have a younger sister who's 9 years younger than me, who's practically an invalid because she's overweight and has a myriad of health problems. I was spared all of those things. I just don't know why. I just thank God for the gift that I have today, which I attribute most, if not all of it, to OA. Ryan, go ahead.
Thanks, Ken, for your lead and everything. My question would be, what are one or two things that you are surprised you gained from program that you weren't expecting?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so interesting. I've never been asked anything like that question before.
It stumped me, so I wanted to ask somebody.
I think the changes in my whole attitude toward things like committing to an exercise program and carrying it out, and I've been doing that now for the last 5.5 years. Well, not all of that time, but maybe 4 of the 5 of the years. I've really gotten into the program, and I'm pretty much sticking to it, much better than I ever would have done in my past. But also, just having a whole different outlook on the world. I can remember in my past being a person who had a dark cloud over my head a lot of the time, and that affected my behavior with other people because I was just angry at myself or the world or whatever it was, and feeling like, the world was against me, kind of. And of course, I turned to food and even alcohol early as a young kid. And that just made things worse. So today, I've got a whole different outlook on that I just wasn't expecting on the way to live my life. And when you read OA literature and other recovery literature that I read, that whole idea of you can be as happy as you make out yourself to be, that my happiness depends on me, not on anybody else, that I can choose to be happy and I can choose to be pleasant and caring and kind to other people all day, every day, and that it's a much better life for me when I make those choices. It also improves my relationships with the people around me. So today I have a loving relationship with my wife and my 2 kids and my son, who's I'm living with him right now, and he's as large as he's ever been in his life. But he and I get along very well. And I love the kid, and my heart breaks for the fact that he's killing himself with his food. But I am not gonna, it's reading AA, the big book and things, and all of, and Al-Anon too, which my wife and I have gone to, has helped me realize that I can't change him, that he has his own higher power, and that whatever happens, happens. But I need to lead my life in a good way and be at least an example to what is possible. And those things I didn't expect. I came into OA to get myself thin and keep myself that way. I came in, that whole thing about I came for the vanity and stayed for the sanity. Well, I came for the spirituality that I'm finding in the life that I'm living that is second to none today. Didn't expect that.
There's about a minute left.
Oh boy. Deb, go ahead.
Can you just explain action plan for those that are maybe new to recovery a little bit
Sure.
more? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, the best thing to do is go to the pamphlet, The Tools of Recovery, and read what an action plan is, because that's going to tell you in better detail than I can. But for me, it's what I had to do was figure out what are the things I need to be doing to keep my recovery? What are the things I need to do every day to keep myself on track, abstinent, and getting healthier in all ways, spiritual, emotional, and physical? And so I make a commitment by writing it down. Pray in the morning, pray at night. Make my 3 phone calls to reach out to others. Take the phone calls that come in from my sponsees and from other OAs, as many as I can during. I'm on the phone a lot every day. It's crazy because I hated being on the phone. Oh, time's up. Anyway, it's all of those things that are in the tools, doing service, and anonymity. I could talk for 10 minutes about anonymity and what it was like in the drug rehab that we went to, but just read the pamphlet on tools if you're new to the program and figure out an action plan that works for you along with a sponsor. Figure it out together and you'll be okay.